Well, let's get started. Hey,
All right,
guys.
then.
This is Colby and Devin from AristaGamer.net, and this is our monthly podcast talking about the game news.
Because that's what we do. Oh, yeah.
That's all we do. That's all we have time for. Literally, we go home from whatever we do, school, work, you know, drowning people, and we just look up game news all day, every day.
Still hoping for that game about drowning people, but so far, no luck.
Unfortunately, we would be high scorers, and, you know, if the government would start pulling people from video games like they used to in that one movie, then we would be number one men in the people drowning squad.
It's how America wins its wars, people.
All right, right. So let's go ahead and dive into it.
All right, 3DS, that circle pad, this attachment. Oh my god. I'm hoping that if you don't know what it looks like, that you are Google imaging this right now, because it is ridiculous.
Yeah, guys, it is bad. Google Nintendo 3DS circle stick right now for anybody that's not listening to this, or people that are listening to it. Okay, so essentially it's just a thing that snaps onto the back, right? And you get a second circle stick, and that's it. That's all it does.
It's monstrously huge, and it's a circle stick, and Lord.
The best thing, you guys are going to like this, is that not only do you, does the circle stick not run on the batteries provided by the 3DS, you have to plug in double A's. That's awesome.
That's nostalgic, almost. I don't remember having to use double A's for anything Game Boy related.
Yeah, but now you got to worry about charging your 3DS and making sure you get enough batteries for your circle stick, and then, you know, something's going to come back with, yeah, Cupcake, just like the Game Boy book lights and the magnifiers.
Yeah. I was talking with Coley about this the other day, with that attachment that had those fold-out speakers and the magnifying glass that rose up and had the lights and everything. I mean, yeah, it was kind of cool looking, but it was monstrously huge, and we're basically reverting back to that style, apparently.
Yeah, I'm not excited about it. And, you know, I saw it and I was like, okay, you know, maybe, perhaps, they just they decided to come out with this circle stick attachment to be like, oh, look, you know, PlayStation Vita, we can game too. But, unfortunately for all gamers out there that are Nintendo fans, there are a whole bunch of AAA titles actually planning to use this, not least of which is one of my favorite series, Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, see, I don't think they realize that they shouldn't just jump onto this because this is a Nintendo attachment. They should also realize that this isn't going to go over that well, A, because of the batteries, B, it's probably going to be uncomfortable as all heck.
Well, I don't know. Like, as far as I'm concerned with the 3DS, it's already uncomfortable in my hand. Something between the DS Lite and the 3DS, it feels awkward, kind of hurts to hold for a long time. I feel like I'm going to get arthritis by holding it, you know?
Oh, well, don't you know you're supposed to put down a game after every 2 hours and take a 15-minute break?
Oh, yeah, and we're supposed to go outside, and we're supposed to donate to charities and not drown people, and I mean, come on. Who's got time for that?
Too much. You can't ask me that.
All right, looks like Ice Alex has a comment. Luckily, he's a man with a mic that is willing to use it, so go for
guys.
It.
Well, I mean, the demographic for the Nintendo 3DS is mostly kids, or at least people who have smaller hands. So this is definitely going to be a problem for people who can't reach their thumb over to the X button or to press the start button when they're trying to, you know, play a game.
Wait, we use the X button?
I know, right? Nice. So weird.
Yeah, that and the touch screen and thanks.
You can touch the screens?
Yeah, believe it or not, that's a thing now. But yeah, for people like me, that's actually good. Like, I saw the circle stick attachment and I was like, okay, this will actually fit in my hands now. And that's not, you know, that's not too bad. And I was like, okay, this thing's $25. You know, that may not be bad, but I was expecting it to plug into the power port or something, and it's not.
See, I don't agree about the comfort thing, because I'm used to having my left thumb being on a D-pad or a circle toggle or something like that, and now having it on both hands, yeah, it works with other controllers, but for a Game Boy kind of thing, it just, I don't know, it seems like it's going to be awkward.
Well, that, I guess there's that side of it, but you remember whenever original Xbox came out and they came out with those giant controllers, like the Dukes, that's what we called them, is the Duke.
Yeah, they fit man hands.
Yeah, I liked those controllers, and I still, like, if I ever play original Xbox, that's the controller I prefer to use because it just feels better in my hand.
Really? You prefer to use the Xbox controller with your Xbox?
Yeah, believe it or not.
It's wow.
Weird concept. So, yeah, from what I can tell, this is... Like, right whenever Sony came out and they said, listen, we are going to bring out this PlayStation Vita. It's going to have apps like a smartphone. It's going to be able to connect to 3G, do Wi-Fi, have graphics comparable to PlayStation 3, hook up with your PlayStation 3, do cloud saves and stuff. You're going to be able to download all of your games digitally or physically. That sent Nintendo running scared, especially because of that thumbstick.
It's like an iPod, but without the Apple crap involved.
Exactly. And that second stick enables, it's so important. You don't realize how important it is until, you know, you switch from playing something like Call of Duty or Battlefield on a 360 or a PS3, and then you switch back to playing GoldenEye, and you're like, how did I ever get used to the camera in this game? So... Now, I don't know. It seems like they should have integrated this into the 3DS, and if I'm not mistaken, that's probably what they're going to be doing. They're probably going to release another revision of the 3DS, I'm betting, somewhere
3DS
around summer.
Lite, XL or something.
Yeah, or like 3DS 2.5 Fun-Wii something.
Fun-Wii.
They have bad names, it's just, that's what I'm saying.
That, there shouldn't be a Wii U, there should be a Fun-Wii. Hey guys, want to go play some fun Wii? Yeah.
Well, that's way better than the actual Wii, since that, I mean, who actually plays their Wii nowadays? Like my parents? That's about it.
Yeah. There are people that just have to play Brawl because, well, that's all they play.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, the Circle Stick, it really does seem like Nintendo, with their price slash, you know, whenever Sony said, this is what we are going to do next generation, Nintendo said, okay, we actually have to step up our game this time.
Yeah. Speaking of the Wii, we know about the Wii U coming out, and it's basically got an iPad for a controller. And, you know, we talked about this in our last podcast. We don't go into too much detail with that. But apparently Nintendo is having some developmental problems with the Wii U. That they've already scrubbed like 3 different prototypes because they've had wiring problems, and then they have wireless problems, and the hardware isn't running up to optimal capabilities that they're wanting right now. And so they're working on something like a 4th prototype. So even though they gave us till summer 2012, I think it was, for the release of this thing, they're worried they're falling a little bit behind because it's not quite on schedule as they'd hoped.
Yeah, and for one, I was wondering how they were going to do this as well, because whenever they showed that video where they were flinging video back and forth and they were displaying stuff from the menu on the controller, you don't think about it unless you know what you're doing with microcontrollers and stuff, but there has to be a processor on that controller, and it's going to have to be expensive, and that's fine, but only recently... Did the technology come out to where you could do video streaming and it was actually good over wireless? And that was Intel came out with WiDi. That's sort of the standard nowadays. I don't know if they're going to be using WiDi. I doubt it. They're probably going to do something proprietary.
Like the Wii, something like this, so we can call it the WiDi.
Oh no! Why didn't I think of that?
That'd be fantastic.
This is the worst. This is going to be. Why?
This is what you get for naming a console Wii. This is what you get, Nintendo.
Wii U with patented Wii die, and you're going to be able to use the Wii motes with your Wii friends. Wii-ees. Wii.
So yeah, they're struggling with that. That's all I want to say.
Yeah, and that doesn't really surprise me. It really seems like in the past, I would say year or so, the analysts came to Nintendo and were like, listen, you knocked it out of the park with the past two consoles, but as we both know, that was a really niche thing to do. Touchscreens are sort of going out, and the Wii is definitely declining in popularity. Nobody really wants to play with their Wii. Nobody wants to play. Nobody wants to play with their friends on the Wii, and the DS has awful multiplayer capabilities online. And so what they ended up doing is they said, okay, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to have to throw out something for E3. We're going to have to talk about the new console, and we're going to have to come up with this new, with the new handheld. Let's add 3D to it. I don't know, maybe make the graphics better or something. I think that'll probably do it. That'll stem the tide, because, you know, what has Microsoft and Sony got?
That's what we need right now.
And really, all the Wii U did is they said, we're going to have graphics comparable to current generation consoles, and we're going to give you a big touchscreen.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's ridiculous. Looks like Ice Alex has a comment. I'm interested to hear this. Here we go.
Well, I guess it's kind of a point they set themselves up for failure, because before E3, there was constant like rumors and filings for patents and things. And so when we start reading about it, everybody wants to figure out what's going on. So they have to produce something for E3 to make themselves relevant, or at least make themselves not fail. And so they have to put something out at that point, and then they went too early by announcing the Wii U.
Yeah, it really does seem like they jumped the gun on announcing this console, and
it was an act of desperation. They didn't have anything else that big to announce, but they didn't want the show stolen from them. So like, oh yeah, by the way, console. It's not ready, but we're doing it.
Yeah, and they even went so far as to announce games that hadn't even been put on paper more, or I guess not put on paper, but planned out more than just talking back and forth. The developer for what was it, Super Smash Brothers, said that all the comments that they made during E3 were things that he had talked about, I think, once or twice. They hadn't put together a development team. They hadn't talked about characters. They hadn't talked about anything having to do with it.
Nope.
And so, you know, all that cool stuff that you heard where it was like, oh, well, you're going to be able to interact with 3DS and the Wii U, and you're going to be able to do this, and, you know,
why
there's going
to
be...
Why would I want to? That's my question. Why would I even want to go between the Wii to the 3DS? Really?
And why is Nintendo so desperate? It's because I think they have run out of ideas. I think whoever was inside Nintendo and said, listen, the next big thing is going to be motion control. You can do all this cool stuff with it, and it's just gotten to the point where it's cheap enough where we can put it into stuff.
Yeah. Cupcake's talking in the chat box about, you know, usually they make it work before when they've announced things that we already know about, like upcoming Mario and Zelda games and that. But honestly, that was big with the previous systems, you know, from Nintendo to the Super Nintendo. And then, you know, we had the Nintendo 64, which was huge. But now we're kind of in the realm of just really clarifying the 3D graphics. There's not been a huge jump. The huge jump for them was motion control, which kind of works, kind of doesn't, depending on the game. And though they're still announcing, well, we're still going to have this new Mario game and this new Zelda game, good though they may be, they're still now being called out on the fact that, well, don't you have anything else? Come on, guys, we're kind of getting used to this routine here.
Yeah, I mean, I can sort of agree with gamers that are fans that there are perennial series that I will always buy and I will always play, like, you know, Zelda and Mario. I guess I haven't played Mario in a long time, but Zelda for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And
all these other companies' consoles have really been able to compete. I mean, it's not... I mean, yes, Sega did compete and whatnot, but it isn't one of these, you know, certain companies' consoles getting a few good games and then a lot of bad reputations that nowadays... the games themselves are getting more of their own company's funding, and so therefore it's not being based on, well, the Sega has these games, but the Nintendo has these better ones. It's all about the, well, I can play this on pretty much anything, except the Nintendo has their exclusives. I mean, each one has their own exclusives, but it's still getting more of a broad range.
Yeah, and Ice Alex has a good point. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, Nintendo started off earlier than Sony or Microsoft. Well, I guess Sony, but right around the same time. But Nintendo came up with a good gaming console first, like after TurboGrafx and Atari and the Commodore. So when they started doing home gaming, they had the original series for nostalgia's sake. Like right now, they can pull the nostalgia card out, but more complex games are coming out for Sony. Sony and Microsoft are putting out games that like provide more for an entertainment stance than, you know, Mario or Zelda, just because people see it nowadays and they know what they're gonna expect.
Yeah, and that's another good point, is that there hasn't ever really been good third-party support for Nintendo. They generally thrive on their own series, and if they do have an installment of something like Call of Duty, it's always some version that's not as good as the other ones, and it tries to implement their their technology, and it's just not, it doesn't feel right. The Nintendo has a feel, and they've created they've done a very, very good job of creating an image for Nintendo, and the image that you get conjured up whenever you think Nintendo is, oh, I'm gonna go play Mario and I'm gonna play Zelda and it's gonna be fun, I'm gonna play with my family. You don't think I'm gonna go shoot this man in the head and I'm going to drown this person forever.
You really want to drown someone today, don't you?
I already have, Devin. That's why I can't get it all out of my head. Just those eyes. Those eyes.
The horror.
So, yeah, with Nintendo, I really think that whoever thought up that idea, the idea for the touchscreen and for the motion control, Nintendo was like, all right, man, we're ready for the next generation. What do you got? And he's like, well, I got 3D. And they were like, that doesn't seem too promising, but all right. Well, what about the next one? And he's like, how about a touchscreen, but it's big? Eh? Yeah, people are buying tablets, right? And they were like, okay.
Just go back in your room, play with your toys. We'll take care of this.
There's just, it's nothing, you know, I can't, I want to believe
faith
in Nintendo.
I'm sorry to say, but I'm losing faith, and I've always loved Nintendo, but I'm really starting to lose faith here.
I mean, I wish I could believe in them for the next generation, but I just can't. But at the same time, I'd like to see what Microsoft and Sony are going to be doing for their home consoles for the next generation.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious because they're not trying to just follow in Nintendo's wake, and they're doing that deliberately. They're not, I mean, okay, yeah, they did the motion control thing, and I still feel that was really stupid on both their ends. Yeah, Kinect's a little more clever, and the Motion Plus or whatever Sony uses, it's kind of like a Wii but better, but by now, hardly anyone that's really into gaming cares that much about the motion control. It's just not ready for this kind of commitment. So I'm kind of curious to see if they're going to think of something else that they can go along with besides perfecting motion control or doing ultimate 3D.
Yeah, I don't know. At this point, I have absolutely no idea what's going to happen with home consoles because there's not many places they can expand to that I can see, at least. And, you know, what little room they do have to expand to, I don't think they're going to be able to utilize correctly. It's going to be really interesting whenever other home consoles come out. But I think the Wii has definitely shown off that if Nintendo isn't going to push and do its weird, nerdy, you know, niche thing, then what does that leave Sony and Microsoft to do? Because they've always just been about, let's increase the graphics, let's make it more streamlined, let's throw you online. And, you know, what has Nintendo done except for, we have the Virtual Boy, and it just, it's this great machine. You put it on, and it kind of looks like 3D, and it just gives you headaches, and that's the feature. And we've got this touchscreen thing that is super fun, and we've got this motion control gaming, which, by the way, whenever the Wii was initially announced, Nintendo said, we're going to take the button count down, and we're going to add in motion gaming, and we're restricting what these devs have to do, or I guess what tools they have at their disposal, so that they focus on making games and not on making pretty games. And I thought that was a brilliant idea.
Absolutely.
Limiting their creativity not to graphics, you know, that's something that doesn't really matter. I want a fun game. That's what Nintendo was sort of saying to us, and I thought that was going to be great. And,
yeah, well, Final Fantasy could pick up some tips from that, right?
Oh, man, if only. Those days have come and gone. I played Final Fantasy VI. I bought it on Virtual Console, and I played it for like 3 days, and I was like, oh, man, why? Why has there not been a re-release of this game? Or even better, why has somebody not written a game this good and has come out in America? I mean, from what I hear, The Last Story and Xenoblade and Pandora's Tower are all great games that are in Japan and I guess now Europe, but just not America, so that's great.
Yeah.
Looks like Ice Alex has something to say about the Kinect as well, and that's another good thing to point out.
Well, I mean, I don't want to bring up the hacks, but I want to bring up what the hacks created, because people started showing up videos of, like, things you could create a green screen and, like, a virtual kind of environment with your motion with your hands, which is really great for advancing different technologies in different areas. So when you talk about like advancing like a new system coming out, until a new system comes out, we're stuck with 360 and we're stuck with the PS3. So it's these smaller
stuck with 360.
We're stuck with it. So when it's the smaller things like Kinect or that Move is what makes it more or first person what I'm thinking of exclusives that will make it more appealing to buy like for the holiday season. So.
Yeah, But have you ever actually just sat down and be like, you know what? I'm really in the mood to play some Kinect right now.
No, but I'm not the person that's going to sit there and try and play with a Kinect. But somebody who wants to decide somebody who sees these hacks on YouTube where you can make it a green screen or you can turn into like a virtual plane where you can use AutoCAD and stuff. If people see that and they're like, "Wait, I have a 360, why can't I do that with my stuff and be more entertaining and interactive?" That's something that people might be interested in. And until we get the new system, a new system that comes out next year or the year after, it's these smaller things that make the system more appealable. But then also Microsoft took those, they saw those and like, well, why can't we market these? Why can't we make it and then market it? And so then they announced that at E3, which is like, well, here's all the things you could do, but you had to hack it, but now you don't have to. So here you go. It's just a bit simpler.
You shouldn't have to hack it. That's the point, though. You shouldn't have to go into the system and modify it in order to really utilize its capabilities.
Well, you shouldn't have to jailbreak an iPhone to be able to put screensavers besides the ones they give you or your photos.
Oh,
but,
well, that's Apple. I can't hold anything against them. I never trusted them.
Sure, but you never know what a system can do until people break it. You know, people didn't. I mean, it wasn't until people started breaking not breaking PS3s, but putting other OSs on it, then Sony said, "We don't want you to do that." So it's more like when they put out a system or a new piece of hardware, it's up to people to figure out what it can do and stretch its limits. And I think with Kinect, that's what they've done because they don't have anything else to do. People already know what the 360 and the PS3 can do, so people come up with something else, and that's what they have to do with it.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, the current generation consoles, they don't have much room to expand. They're not... The only thing that they can really do now is come out with new game series, and I'm okay with that. I'm completely okay with them trying to go back.
That's
and,
what it's all about, man.
Yeah, I'm fine with them going back and being like, okay, well, the prettiest games have already come out. Let's make the funnest, prettiest game, I guess. You know, but at the same time, you know, it's getting older. What are they going to do? I honestly can't see much room for innovation here. But at the exact same time, I didn't see any room for innovation last console generation either. And now we've got Kinect and everything.
I could compare because the level of – basically, this goes back to the graphics. The level of graphics capabilities that we had in movies at the time that the previous generation of consoles were out – is what I was able to compare it to. It's like, you know, the games are looking good and everything, but I can tell that really high-level professional graphic animation can get to this level. And so pretty soon, games will be to that level too. And we're pretty much there. So what I'm curious because I can't really see what's coming out ahead. I know that it's not going to be obsession with graphics anymore. That's what it was before, to move from polygons to actual curved surfaces to now showing, you know, little details of freckles on your face to... You know, what's left? The hair on the mole on your freckle?
Well, you know, you got to take it even a step further than that, because for now, graphics, I can say definitively that graphics are not as good as they're going to get, because I'm not playing a game and thinking that it's a movie. I guess, you know, there was Metal Gear Solid 4, but that was because there was no gameplay.
Last time, like that one involving the... changing your memories through the doctors.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, graphics that were around over 10 years ago, but it still looks like one of those really clever storylines, so I'm still excited to play it, because that's what it's really about.
Yeah, and... But with graphics, they've also got this thing called the Uncanny Valley. If you guys want to look that up, you can. But essentially, there's a limit to how good you can make graphics until it becomes really creepy and you're really weirded out by it. Like, you know that commercial for the Kia Soul with those weird, like, dancing gerbils? That always really, really, really creeps me out. Like, I see that commercial and it's just, bleh.
Oh, but the dancing's great. They get robots to dance. How many gerbils do you know get robots to dance?
Like, okay, the way that I can compare this is those hamsters are to me as you know those anime masks, those anime girl masks with the huge eyes that people put on? That
you should wear one of those when you're about to drown someone.
Oh,
you okay there?
You're creeping me out, man. I'm gonna get off of this subject now. Let's go on to the next topic, please.
All right, cool. Tablet gaming.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so GameStop just announced that they're coming out with their own version of an Android tablet, and that's kind of cool. They're also buying up iPhones and iPads and stuff. And so it's cool to see that a whole bunch of these larger companies are taking tablets seriously. That's nice. And especially since the tablet market and the smartphone market, they haven't seen the best games that can come out on them at all. I mean, not even close.
No, I don't know. I can understand GameStop wanting to kind of expand out like this and get the news off of when they do crap like pulling codes out of rival companies' games.
Oh man,
get a free copy of that. Yeah, we all read that. That was dumb, GameStop. We'll say it. But they're trying to expand out. They're getting into tablet gaming, but I'm curious how serious they're actually going to take tablet gaming, or if it's going to be GameStop's version of Angry Birds, but, you know, actually try to come up with some pretty good independent gaming. Then, you know, that could possibly be the foot in the doorway to get us through to the next level of this craze of tablets, touchscreen kind of gaming, so...
Yeah, and Ice Alex has a good point that I'd like to rebut after he gets done making his point, so go for it.
Well, I mean, okay, Carl said it well, where if it's the next version of Angry Birds, then nobody's going to really care, because it's just tablet gaming. But
they'll care. There's people that will care. It's just not the kind of level of gaming that we like to talk about.
Well, sure. I mean, I'll agree that, you know, Angry Birds or any game that or program that comes on the Android market or the Apple market is going to be entertaining, you know, things that you find that you like to you know, satisfy your time and you're sitting at, you know, waiting for the bus to show up, but that's all you're going to do. So that at some point it'll fill a need and that's it. That's the limit it reaches. There's a cap on what it can do for entertainment, because you're not going to sit down with a tablet in your hand playing a game that you could play probably on your 360 or your PS3 or your computer that you'd rather play anyway.
Yeah, exactly, because with the GameStop, I don't know what hardware they're going to be using in the tablet. I know they're using Android-based operating system, but for the hardware, such as the graphics capabilities or something, I don't know exactly what's going to be going in it, but if it's going to be on the level of pretty much any other tablet out there, it really all depends, so I really can't say right now.
Well, what I'd like to say is that I can completely agree with people that currently gaming on tablets and on smartphones is definitely sort of a niche. I don't know. Is it niche? Whatever. It's definitely a small thing that a whole bunch of people are playing, and they're all small games that are, you know, you've got your Angry Birds, you've got your jumping simulator type games, games like X-Kinect, games like blah 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 blah. But there's only there's only room to expand here, because if you remember, I mean, back on, you know, Atari and Nintendo, we couldn't have even dreamed of a first-person shooter like Doom on a console like that. Somebody came up with that idea and said, oh, I got it. This is going to be great on PC, and then it was great on consoles. And all they need to do is develop games that are going to appeal to a mass market, which that's why... Like, you know, I come home from work and I work like 8 hours a day, and I come home and I work 3 or 4 hours, probably 2-3 times a week on tablet game or on a smartphone game, because I honestly believe that's where the market is going to be moving. And all you have to do, you don't even have to make a really impressive game. All you have to do is make a game that would sell well on a console or on a PC, you know, a mediocre type game, and then put it on a tablet, make sure that it's good, and you're done.
Yeah, it's baby steps. It's one step at a time. You can develop that, and from that, someone else can see that, and if you leave it open for them to be able to mess around with the programming of it or something, they'll be like, you know what, I can use this idea, and then they'll be able to take it and work with it, improve on it somehow, to come up with a different kind of storyline, or if there is a storyline with Angry Birds, that kind of thing, and from there be able to just progress further and further ahead. So, I mean, you got to start somewhere, and it's going to suck because you're starting.
Yeah, and, you know, you can say that this is just for casual gamers, and it's just for people that want to waste 10 minutes or 15 minutes or whatever, but what about the argument for whenever consoles first started coming out, Atari and Nintendo? Those were just for people that had a lot of money and wanted to play games at the time. You know, if you had a gaming console, it was like, oh, well, you bought this cool new thing. Oh, well, that's great. It's kind of weird, and I don't really see, you know, how that's going to be good. Yeah, and then all of a sudden, more and more people started getting it, and, you know, kids started getting into it. And I really think that the best games to come out for tablet and smartphones aren't even near where they could be, and that's really exciting to me.
Oh, yeah. I'm still waiting for someone to come up with a really clever idea that you haven't really seen before, that you've seen it kind of worked with, but they just release something and bam, Half-Life 2, Episode 3 on the tablet. We got it.
I would be really, really angry about that.
Slash Fruit with Gordon Freeman.
Oh, no. Fruit Ninja with Gordon Freeman, and he's just holding his crowbar. It's just head crabs that fall down the screen, and you just have to bash them a little bit, and that's Valve's next game. And you can buy hats, but you can't see them because it's all in first person.
It'll be 12 years, and then Valve will release it like that, and we'll all be expecting it.
Man, I don't know exactly where Valve is, but I'm willing to drive up to Redmond, Washington, and just drive around until I find Gabe Newell and kick him, if that's what happens. I mean, not even hard. I mean, just kick him in the shins and be like, you know what you did, and then walk away.
I heard what you said.
Mama said knock you out.
Mama said.
That was awful.
Also, the creative director with Microsoft he was the head creative director with Halo for, well, all the Halos. He's decided to leave Microsoft and start his own gaming company before they really get to cracking on Halo 4. And basically he's leaving because he's just sick of Halo. He's just sort of burned out. He's like, guys, I'm done with Halo. I really don't want to do this anymore. I'm kind of bored with it. So I'm going to go do my own thing. Good luck. And just left.
You know, I can't blame him. Whenever it came out on 360, there were a whole bunch of really cool things that were sort of innovative, and that was like the mechanism to drive the Warthog, and it had an okay story for an FPS. It actually had a pretty decent story, but you know, after four titles, I guess, what are you counting? There's Halo 1, Halo 2, Halo 3, Halo Wars, Halo Reach, and Halo 3 ODST. So that's six games if you want to count all of those, and yeah. Now Halo 4. So,
and it's going to be another trilogy coming out too. It's not just, well, Halo 4, and then maybe we're done with it. It's we're going to be another trilogy, and it's just, good lord, are we trying to be Nintendo here?
It's going to be, I don't know, that's sort of like their flagship thing. Like there for a long time, Sony had Crash Bandicoot and what was it, Tomb Raider, that were their two big flagship things, and now you don't even see those games anymore. And Ice Alex is a good point.
Well, Tomb Raider actually just came out with something recently, but you know.
Oh, well, it's going to. So go ahead, Isos.
Well, I mean, at first, Halo had a great story, and then when Halo 2 came out and improved multiplayer, and that was when Xbox Live was getting bigger as well, they had things to jump off of, but now they're trying to advance the story, I guess. It doesn't make sense for them to keep going, but, you know, they're going to...
It's just money.
It's just money, but also, there was a point that the universe got bigger and bigger at like its peak during between Halo 2 and Halo 3, because Eric Nyland came out with a series of books that was really amazingly written. It was really good. There was a big backstory behind the Forerunners with Halo 3 ODST, and the universe itself expanded, but then it got to a point where nobody else really cared about what's happening in Master Chief, because there's so many more characters that came up. There are more Spartans than just the one in the books, and people started like paying more attention to those. People who are like really diehards into the universe, I'll admit I'm one of them, they started, you know, paying attention to more things besides the games. And then when people who don't care as much see the games, they just see it as another Halo, it just becomes boring.
I don't like reading, so...
Wow, that was great. Thank Sorry. You, Jake.
Well, they have Good a giant encyclopedia that has a bunch of pictures you can just look at, so...
Ooh, I can do that.
Yeah, the pictures are good.
So, I mean, to be honest, okay. To be honest, honestly, I don't read that often. I'm too busy doing everything forever all the time, and I wish I did because reading is cool and I write and all that, but the book series, from what I understand, actually are pretty sweet. And it's the same thing with the Star Wars series. There was a trilogy of books that came after episode 4, 5, and 6 that was actually really good, and a whole bunch of people like to refer to that as canon, but yeah. What were we talking about to start off with?
Oh, God, that dude left Microsoft. He quit at the end.
Oh, yeah, that guy. Well, that we talked about it. That was
what was his name? I don't even remember.
I don't know. Was his name Master Chief? He was Halo.
Ryan Payton.
Ryan Payton. He sounds like a winner. Let's try to send him an email and get him on this show.
Yeah. Talk to us about why you left Halo.
That'll work. And then we'll just insult books and talk about drowning people the entire time. Be like, well, you know, before you finish your point there, Mr. Patton or Payton or whatever.
I dressed up in a Master Chief cosplay there, and I stuck this man's head underwater until he stopped moving.
I just wanted to know what you think about this pie recipe, okay? Now follow me on this. It's like a cheesecake, but there's cherries on top. See what I'm doing there?
Oh, go on.
Okay. Next topic is... Final Fantasy Versus 13. Okay, so...
I mentioned it earlier. Can we leave it at that?
No, we can't leave it at that because we weren't recording, and I feel it needs to be brought up.
No, I brought it up earlier about graphics versus gameplay. That's a perfect example there. They're all about graphics.
I hate you. Listen, you can't go wrong with this. Whenever they announced, they said,
that's the point.
Hey, they said like Final Fantasy 13, okay, flop. Final Fantasy 13 2, maybe a flop, I don't know. But Final Fantasy Versus 13, it's done by the team that did Kingdom Hearts. I love Kingdom Hearts. And it's done by the cinemas are supposed to be done by the people who did Advent Children, and I love watching Advent Children. So how can it be bad, Devin?
Wait, okay, hang on. So you're saying the graphics for Versus is going to be good as the people that have been doing other Final Fantasy stuff? Duh.
Right? But the gameplay is going to be as good as Kingdom Hearts. Imagine a really, really, really pretty Kingdom Hearts without all the Disney stuff.
I'll give you credit on the Versus then. I'll give you credit on that. I'm really hoping that they actually give a crap about it. Because I can tell you now, 13-2 or hyphen 2 or whatever you want to call it, X3I2, it's got the same people working on it, the same team, the same writers. It's just expanding on a different storyline. That's not sounding like a great winner there.
Yeah, I've got to agree with you on that game. I'm actually not excited about it. And, I mean, as much as I am a Square Enix fanboy and I have bought almost every Final Fantasy game that they have come out with, I don't think I can buy this one in good conscience. I don't think I can do it. I was burned too badly on 13.
I was burned on 12. I didn't play 11. I watched someone play it, so, you know, I didn't really count that one. And it just sort of – I kind of fizzled out after, like, 8 or 9, some of there. So, you know, I'd rented 12, played through it, and I never finished it because I just got so freaking bored with it. My God! And 13, anyone that I've talked to, it's kind of gone that same route that it just lingers on and on.
By the way, since we're talking about Final Fantasy, the cool thing is they're bringing out Final Fantasy 10. They're doing an HD remaster and bringing it out for PS3 and for Vita. I think that's kind of cool. Obviously, they're just trying to get more money because they're going broke, but you know, not bad. I don't mind it.
So we're going to introduce a newer generation of children to listen to Tidus whine.
And he'll be like, yeah, oh, Blitzball!
Ball in water!
Oh, somehow I don't drown! I hate that guy. He doesn't drown.
He doesn't drown. We've tried.
As Alex has something to say, I'm going to laugh for a while. Go for it.
Well, okay, Final Fantasy has been there since the Nintendo, so it's kind of like a continuous series that keeps going, but there's too many 13s. Like, they had 10, 10-2, and they finally went on to 11, 12, and 13. But it's kind of the point that they need to keep going, because I don't think there'll ever be too many Final Fantasies, because people now may not want to play Final Fantasy 4 or 2 because they get bored because it's not 8-bit graphics because, well, they're dumb and they don't know what they're talking about. But
they're dumb. They don't realize what gameplay's like.
True, but if they're entertained by 11, 12, or 13, they keep going because they keep coming out with new stories, new characters, new things to do, but they have to stay fresh with it. 13 kind of flops, so they have to go with... They should go move on because they've got 14 online versus 13 and 13-2. Just keep going and make a new game that, you know, is with a new story or with, you know, fix the system that didn't work. It's more of the point that it's like, you know, something like Madden or something that, you know, like a Zelda. It's become something that just keeps coming out that they can that lets them use as a title or a label, but keep making new stories, new characters, and new things that still make it fun. It's in itself an RPG, but there's the Final Fantasy name and label makes it more saleable.
Saleable,
sure, it's a word. But at the same time, they need to stop, like, confusing people, and they need to stop focusing on, let's improve this, but then let's introduce a new game with better graphics. But then we're also working on a 14 online version, but then we're probably going to have 14 come out in a couple of years, too. When there's 15 down the line, they're trying to, you know, push to the heads of Square, they're trying to get Square Enix to start working and drafting on, so... Why bother when just focusing on one or two games makes it good? Because that's what they did in the past. They worked on 6, then 7, then 8, and that's why they were good.
See, that's my theory right there, is that with 6, 7, and I guess we'll say 8, that they really...
It was okay.
They were able to get a really good balance of storyline and gameplay, minus the leveling up in 8, because, oh my god.
Yeah, that was kind of bad. It was just ridiculous.
But otherwise, they had a very good balance, and obviously with 7, it just became a global phenomenon of... a dude with gravity hair and whining but it's still, I'll admit, I loved it too. Everyone, I mean, there are people that really obsess over it. Well, and I feel like it's those people that are really into those other games that just can't, they just can't let go of that kind of faith. They want to keep playing because, you know, it's still going to be good that they, I guess you could say they're kind of blinding themselves. They're not realizing that if they were to sit, like, step away for a long time and then sit down and play 13 or 12 alone without any memory of the other ones, they'll just sort of like, oh god, why did I do this?
Yeah, and like another point is we all know that the salienality of the games depends highly upon the playlienation of the game and the storification of the system manifold.
Now, how does that make you feel?
What are we doing? No, but seriously, for Final Fantasy, it has been a boon in the RPG, or I guess RPG industry. It has been the sort of go-to thing, as this is the state of JRPGs. And it was that up until, I feel, Final Fantasy X came out. And after that, you know, there were so many good RPGs that were better than Final Fantasy that... Now it's like a Final Fantasy comes out, and you're like, oh, I guess I gotta buy it.
But then other people actually met that goal. They met that bar, and then they're just sort of, oh, crap. We need to get even more intricate storylines out. They kind of lost focus on what made them good to begin with.
Yeah, I don't know. It's bad. I didn't like 12. I didn't like 13. I didn't like 11. I didn't like 13-2. And by didn't like, I mean probably won't like. I didn't like 14. I played 14 for a while. That was awful.
Just all saying. The way up to 35, and oh my god, that's when bad. The story really started losing me.
Oh, real quick, just to bring this up, did you know that the people in charge of the new Legend of Zelda game say that it's going to do between 50 and 100 hours of gameplay?
No kidding.
50 to 100.
I'm wondering if that's just because of all the side games, or if they're really building up on the worlds, because Zelda's always been kind of open world. Maybe they're, imagine Zelda going sandbox.
Oh no. Well, I mean, then again, that may be the case, because they also announced that you're going to be able to upgrade your weapons in it.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Well, that should be interesting. I just kind of worried, because all I imagine is 13 different varieties of fishing minigames now.
Yeah, well, okay, so...
Go across the map, use this different rod, and you'll catch this other fish that has a piece of heart that you know you're going to want. Congratulations, there went 4 hours of your time for that fish.
Yeah, I couldn't do that in Twilight Princess. There was some sort of, I think, a bee-catching game or something. I tried. Oh, I really did.
Golden, silver, that glowing bee crap. Oh, Lord.
Yeah. That was, I was so into that for, like, 2 hours, and I was like, nope, I'm done.
Yeah. Those bees didn't bring me back to life, so what was the use?
Unfortunately, for Zelda, I take that back. Fortunately for Zelda... they have stuck with the same formula for a very long time, and thus adding in new elements makes it pretty impressive. Like, if you remember, if you guys have played Minecraft, I think update 1.6 was whenever Notch added in rain, and everybody was like, oh my god, it is gonna rain now? It is raining in Minecraft. You have to be kidding me.
You have to see this.
There is rain. No, everybody come here. Look at this. And... You know, whereas in Zelda, you know, you're like, oh my god, you gotta be kidding me. I can actually upgrade my sword. So, yeah, Zelda is gonna be good. I think it's gonna be coming out in November. I would say it's gonna be the thing to beat as far as non-hardcore gaming goes. For hardcore gaming, you know, there's the games like Battlefield that are going to come out and stuff like that. So yeah, those can all duke it out.
But Zelda's been interesting. Even with certain Zelda games that haven't or aren't the greatest ones compared to others, they still weren't that particularly bad. They were still enjoyable and you still finished it. So I've always had faith in Zelda just because even the bad ones were pretty good. There hasn't been a Final Fantasy XII Zelda.
Ice Alex, you have maximum 1 minute to talk about Skyrim. Go.
Okay, Skyrim is going to be amazing. Skyrim's going to be amazing. I can repeat that for a minute, but no.
I was about to mute you.
Okay, no. Well, I mean, you talk about games in the fall that are going to be things to beat, new games coming out, Skyrim, Arkham City, Zelda, Gears of War 3, Modern Warfare 3, Battlefield 3. I think of all of them, Skyrim's going to be one that's going to take probably the most time, because you're going to spend a lot of time leveling up and going through it just as you would with Oblivion.
Oh, yeah, but it's going to be Oblivion all over again, in the sandbox style.
Yeah, but what they've done with it is amazing. I mean, I don't know if anybody's seen the videos. I'm sure you guys have, but I've been watching them lately. And what they've done with the display, the menu, the use of the menus, and how intuitive it is, the rendering with the new engine. I mean, I think this is going to be one of the games that, because you're going to look at Battlefield 3 and you're going to look at Modern Warfare 3, and it's like, okay, it's a shooter. You know what it's going to do. You look at Zelda. Okay, I've seen Zelda. You look at a Skyrim, and you're gonna be like, okay, this is going to be Oblivion. Sure, it's Oblivion. It's an RPG that you spend a bunch of time in a sandbox environment doing a bunch of leveling up and joining a bunch of guilds. But the way it looks, the way it plays, and the way it feels is amazing, and it's fantastic, and I think it will blow people away. I guess my minute's up now. Bye-bye.
Yes. I can agree.
Well, all right, then.
Skyrim is going to be sweet. Skyrim is going to take everybody's time away. That's the kind of game that it is. Yeah, it does a very good job.
I'm going to spend most of my vacation probably playing on Skyrim, and I'm okay with that.
See, I'm jealous of you. You get a vacation. Like, I'm going to be taking off 2 weeks of vacation in December, and most of that is probably going to be visiting people and...
Oh, I'm going to visit family. I'm just taking my console with me. I got to have something.
That's
what am
true.
I gonna take my DS with a little toggle attachment?
Woohoo, man!
Okay, quick couple of things. For a game, just make a quick mention of this: Star Trek Online. I know there's a few people out there that are really into Star Trek, and we're not gonna get into the whole Star Trek versus Star Wars thing, so don't even. But Star Trek Online is apparently going free to play. So I'm a little bit excited for that, just because I've always been curious. I've enjoyed Star Trek. My parents. I've always watched Star Trek around me, so, you know, it was kind of one of those family things. So I've been curious how the game is. I know it's not one of the greatest MMOs out there, but I don't play MMOs anyway. So I just wanted to see what it's like without actually having to pay for it, which is fine by me. So, I'm going to kind of check it out and see what happens.
Yeah, they're moving to the free-to-play model, but there's a whole bunch of MMORPGs that are out there now that are free-to-play. My favorite actually being Vindictus. Vindictus is a sweet game. Like, imagine you mix together, I played WoW for a little bit, I guess, for like a day. It mixed together like WoW and the gameplay of Devil May Cry, and that's what you get with Vindictus, and it is awesome.
Very nice. Another quick little snippet. There has been very much further developments, but we mentioned in the last podcast that the guys at Bethesda were suing the guys with Minecraft because of their sequel coming out called Scrolls, and you know they're suing for copyright because, you know, well, our games are called Elder Scrolls, and because both games have a fantasy setting, it's way too similar for such a similar theme as well. So, you know, Minecraft came back with, well, we'll challenge you to, what was it, Quake 3?
Yeah, Quake 3.
Yeah, Quake 3 duel, and we'll decide from that. There was a recent article that I read saying that the guys at Minecraft were actually kind of regretting saying that because they forgot that Bethesda owns Quake. So challenging the owners of that game, they're trying to retract that, but it doesn't look like Bethesda is going to take the bait anyways. They're taking this a little more seriously.
Well, I don't know. Bethesda looks like a whole bunch of scrubs now. I mean, if they wouldn't have taken up a challenge that cool that could have made them a lot of money and gotten them a lot of good PR,
Even if the guys at Minecraft are saying, oh, we challenged you to a game that, well, basically you should be much better at because you own it and all, they're still not... I don't know. Maybe that article was written to tell Bethesda, see, it's your own game. You should be able to beat us, so take our challenge. You know, they're trying to... Yeah, fish him in or something, but it doesn't look like it's going to take the more exciting route.
And that's unfortunate. But, yeah, you know, it was a nice thought.
It was. It was clever, and it was clever that it was officially announced that that was what they wanted to do.
Yeah, I mean, and they took a risk by saying that, and by take a risk, I mean, they didn't take any risk at all, so.
Right. All right, I come up with this idea. As we were doing this podcast, that since we're near the end of it, that each of us, meaning him and me, mentioned a game that we're excited to play, but we haven't actually played yet. And then around the next podcast or two, we'll actually come back on and say, well, you know, actually, that was one I was glad I was excited about, or we come back with, good Lord. So it's kind of a review thing, but more in a live version. And so.
Yeah, I'm... Man, so our next podcast is probably going to be in the middle of October, and unfortunately Battlefield 3 actually comes out after that.
Yeah.
So, what game are you going to pick?
Oh, I'm going with Dead Island on that one. It just came out. I haven't been able to play it yet, but I have heard great things. This open world zombie game, and I'm a big sucker for zombie movies, zombie games. I've loved Left 4 Dead, but it's more of an RPG element like Borderlands was. So that just sounds fantastic to me. I really want to check it out.
Yeah, Dead Island actually looks pretty good. I'm probably not going to play it because I'm going to be playing Resistance 3. Now, has anybody here played Resistance 1 or 2? Actually, that's probably a bad question.
No.
So... Resistance.
Oh my god, everyone in the chat was saying no, no, sad face.
Resistance was supposed to be the PS3's Halo. That's what it was supposed to be. Resistance came out and it was supposed to be like, oh man, this is the game! This is what FPSs could be like on PS3! And.
Bonesaw is ready!
Bonesaw is ready! And unfortunately. It was mediocre. And, you know, I thought, okay, it's mediocre. It just came out. Maybe that's why. And I bought the second one on the presumption that it was going to get better and the online was going to be good. And I tried, and it was bad. It wasn't necessarily a bad game. It just, while I was playing it, I kept going, am I done yet?
I just want to be done. I want to get my money's worth. I don't want to feel guilty about it. Christ.
Let's see. Ice Alex, what do you want to say?
Well, I kind of want to participate, but as much
then
as...
Then participate!
I'm going to! As much as everybody's anticipating for all the obvious games that are coming out, I'm actually looking forward to the most is the Metal Gear Solid HD remake, because they're coming out... They're doing two... They're only doing two and three, and then the PSP one, which is whatever, but... I'm looking forward to going back and playing those in an HD update because those are games that Metal Gear Solid was one of the series that I played a lot when I was younger on, you know, PlayStation and, you know, PS2 when it came out. So I think that one will be really nice to be able to play with, go back and play on, like, on my 360. Because now they don't have a PS2 anymore, I can't play those. So the fact that it comes out on 360 makes me really happy. So I want to go back and play those again.
Just be careful looking it up online. You don't want to get any spoilers with it.
Funny. Well, I mean, I've gone through 2 and 3. I just haven't gone on... I haven't played the Peace Walker, is it supposed to be, I think? But I don't care about that one. But it's more like, since all these new games are coming out, I'm obviously going to play those and I'm going to have fun with them. Going back and playing an old one is going to be kind of nice.
Well, okay, so I can agree with you that it's going to be nice to play that game, but I am... You'll have to forgive me for being a skeptic about this, because whenever Metal Gear Solid Twin Snakes, which was a remake of Metal Gear Solid for the GameCube, came out, Snake was doing all sorts of stuff he wasn't doing in the original, like kicking missiles and stuff, and that's just... That's some Metal Gear Solid 3 stuff. Don't put your Metal Gear Solid 3 stuff in my Metal Gear Solid 1, man, okay?
Yeah, no kidding. Also, I don't know what just happened. I just lost connection and regained connection, so... Okay.
Yeah, your name is currently Colonel D.1.
Yeah, and
so that's
like
cool.
I stopped recording, but whatever. You can just send me here, so it's
I
cool.
got this. I got this.
You got this.
I got it, buddy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. For games that are coming out within the next month, Gears 3 just came out on Tuesday, and I've never played any Gears of War game. I actually played Gears 3 at Comic-Con, and it was okay.
I feel like I should play one of the Gears of War games, because so many people talk about it, and you know they rave about it. One of my really good friends lives up in Huntsville, says the storyline's amazing, and I don't know. I just sort of been, eh.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to come out, I guess it already did come out yesterday, and, you know, I'll play it. I'm not super excited about it, but I'll play it.
Super excited, Dave.
And let's see, Nintendo has announced tons of new games for the 3DS that are going to be coming out. Fire Emblem is one of them. There's going to be a new Fire Emblem game. It looks like every other Fire Emblem game, so I'm not surprised. The Kingdom Hearts 3DS game is coming out. There's going to be... I don't know. I haven't really been excited by Nintendo news in a long time.
Yeah, exactly.
Anytime they announce something, I'm like, oh, they're coming out with another new one of those.
I kind of stopped caring about Kingdom Hearts news ever since, they've yet to talk about Kingdom Hearts 3. I liked the first one. The second one, though, it kind of lingered on. I liked it as well. And it's been so much time into the third, and I sometimes feel that they're never actually going to do it, so I'm just sort of losing interest more and more.
Well, to be fair, the creator actually did say that after Kingdom Hearts 3DS, the next game is going to be Kingdom Hearts 3. Kingdom Hearts 3DS is supposed to be, like, you know how...
Didn't he say, like, 4 years ago that they were going to do Kingdom Hearts 3 next?
No. He said that they were going to be coming out with a game that was going to be the successor to Kingdom Hearts 2, which was Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep.
Yeah. See, that's the thing I'm curious about, is how they're going to tie it in, Kingdom Hearts 2, to follow up to Kingdom Hearts 3 with this whole Birth by Sleep happening in between.
Yeah, and it's going to be the same thing with Chain of Memories. The 3DS is going to be like the Chain of Memories game, and you're going to need the circle stick, and you're probably going to have to end up buying another 3DS, the one with the circle stick attachment, and I don't know. This entire thing is going to be awful. I can't see it being a good future for Nintendo. I can't see them coming out on top this generation, because they don't have anything that's either A, innovative, B, that I want to play, or C, a series that I'm super interested in. Skyward Sword is coming out for the Wii, and after that, I'm done, because
I'm not even excited about a new Mario game. I wasn't excited when Galaxies came out. I've heard it's all right, but, you know, I played a little bit of it. It's okay. It's kind of clever, but I never got excited about it. I haven't been excited. I was excited with Brawl, but, you know, they're saying they're going to have a new Smash Brothers, and I'm thinking, well, no, duh, you're Nintendo. So it's just, it's hard to get excited with things. You know, the Zelda game is what I'm mostly excited about. But otherwise, it's just, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. A lot of what Nintendo is talking about is like, oh, it's that again. Yeah. Well, you know, Star Fox 64 was great. Yeah. Oh, I guess I'll play it again. Is there a new thing happening?
Yeah, kidding. Oh, we have Ocarina of Time, but it's on the 3DS now. It's like, great. I'll go get out my N64 and goodbye.
Yeah, and it's not that their series are bad, you know? Like, no, I love all of those things. I just, ugh.
Just do some new stuff. Get on with it.
I mean, like, every character that has been in Super Smash Brothers. Most of those series are flagship Nintendo series, and if they come out with a sequel to those games, people are going to buy it, they're going to make tons of money, and that's great for Nintendo. But it's not great for people like us.
Nope.
Yeah, no, and Alex is bringing up third-party support. We'll go ahead and unmute you, and then we'll wrap this thing up. Go for it.
Well, since third-party support is a must for most systems now, it's not just now they also have to do multi-platform because they're supposed to come out with a controller that other developers can use. But you give them the Wii, and they kind of go, "What?" Because they don't know how to adapt Call of Duty to this. So, third-party developers aren't going to want to, you know, get in and try and work with it. I mean, with a giant touchscreen in the middle, how are they going to work that into it? But then also, they have to allow people to try and figure out how to, you know, work the system or work the controls to make a game that's worth buying.
Yeah, but I think there's definitely a difference between there's such a difference between porting a game over directly and making something new. Because, you know, whenever a big studio like that comes out with a Call of Duty game, they have to essentially remake it for the Wii because you can't just port the controls over. You have to have waggling and new animations for stuff, and it can't handle this, and it can't do that, but it can do all these things. But those things don't translate very well. And so whenever you have something like that that comes out, like, Nintendo knew that they were not going to have much third-party support on this. They had to have. They couldn't have been saying to themselves, "Oh, well, you know what's going to be great on this is, Battlefield. Battlefield's going to be great on the Wii. I can't even wait for them to port their code over." And
I'm just imagining, you know how with games like the Ghostbusters game, they had it for the other consoles, it looked great, but on the Wii, because of its limited graphics capabilities, it was kind of a little bobblehead, kind of cartoony version of the same game. I was just imagining those kind of little cartoony bobbleheads shooting each other in Battlefield. That was a great image.
Oh man, just like Battlefield Heroes, which is a free-to-play online game. It's actually not that bad. I like playing it, but I mean, putting that, on the Wii, and then it's just,
why, no.
I don't know. Nintendo nowadays, whenever I think back, I'm like, oh, man, they had some great games, and there was so much history. But whenever I think about Nintendo in the future, I'm going, I don't really see a place for them in my living room anymore. And that's their problem.
Yep.
So I guess we'll go ahead and wrap this up.
Yeah, I think that pretty much covers it for this month, or this time, or whatever.
Just to make sure that we don't end up, incredibly negatively, let's say something positive about the future, something that we're excited about.
Positive. Final Fantasy 13 2 is going to suck.
I hate you. What is something that you're excited about, Colonel?
Colonel OJ. What am I excited about? Well, I'm excited for November to come around. I'm just ready for it to get here and release everything to make me dirt poor. But honestly, I'm mostly excited about Dead Island. I really am. That thing looks fantastic.
I'm excited about November as well. You know, all those games are going to be coming out. I'm going to come home and I'm not going to have time for anything. I'm excited about 2012. I'm excited about bringing out stuff for the tablet, which, by the way, in case anybody in this room didn't know, I'm working on an Android game and I'm going to make Devin review it so that, you know, there's no conflict of interest between us.
See, I didn't even know if he was making a game till like 2 days ago, so there really is no conflict of interest.
It's going to be great, because I'm going to hand the game off to you and stand over your shoulder and be like, hey, you doing good there, buddy? How's the game? Do you want me to get you a fresh soda?
And then I will lock you in a closet, chain the door together, and then I'll play the game, review it, and then let you out and let you know.
Man, you mean I can't bribe you?
Soda? You want a soda?
Want a happy meal?
Anyways, I think we were about to wrap this up, so we should wrap this up.
I agree.
All right, this is Devin. That was Colby.
Yes.
And we'll talk to you guys later. Have a good time of good gaming.
Yeah. Later, guys.
You have to click stop recording.
You have to click shut up!